Hi, I'm Laura.
And I'm Roger.
And this is
The Filmaholics.
Okay, so today we'll be talking about Pulp Fiction. And this is a recommendation from Lara, right? Lara, why would you recommend Pulp Fiction?
I think Pulp Fiction is a classic. There is a bit of controversy around it as to why is it so famous or even how graphic it is, but I think it's worth a shot anyways.
Well, I'll start having a polemic because I understand the controversy now that I watched. And just so people know, it was the first time I watched Pulp Fiction. And I have some notes on it during our the development. But anyways, can you present us a bit about Pulp Fiction?
Yes. Pulp Fiction is a crime / comedy film. It was released in 1994, and it's directed by Quentin Tarantino. And it's based on a story by Quentin Tarantino and Roger Avery. Sorry? Wow. It has...
No, just say wow.
Oh, yes. It was nominated to 48 awards, and it won 23 of them.
Wow, again.
Wow, again. And it was, like, over a long time. It was great.
Wow, I haven't heard of it, actually. Wow, I'm really off this kind of news. but I knew Pulp Fiction was a big thing, because I heard it everywhere. I mean, it's really a classic. But I never watched it, so great.
That was your first chance. Did you like it? How did you like it?
I liked it. I thought I wouldn't like for the beginning when I started watching it. I was like, this is not getting to me. But then this story kind of grew into me, you know?
Yeah.
And I was really interested by the middle to the end of the film, I would say.
Yeah, I think that's when stuff really starts happening, right? Like bigger stuff.
Yeah. It is because the first beginning is just like it's kind of weird because it's I don't know, maybe I haven't never watched or never paid attention. It is a different narrative, a different way of telling a story, and
yes.
I was taken aback by it, which I thought it was really interesting. But at the same time, at the beginning it was kind of boring. But like I said, from the middle to the end, I was like, wow, okay, I'm into that now. What's happening?
I knew it was a classic, but honestly, I watched it mostly because of Uma Thurman. I just knew she was in the movie, and I was like, well, okay, then I gotta watch it.
Is she from Kill Bill, right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, is she? Okay. I was kind of like, I saw her, and I was, I know that woman from somewhere. Yeah. I couldn't know where. Yeah? So since now we were talking about the film in general, can you give us a really like surface overview of the story?
Yes. Well, there are so many stories.
I know.
Okay, so Pulp Fiction it portrays different stories of different people and how they are connected together. So it's mostly related to crime, of course. So you have a few criminals, you have a mobster. It's just how their lives accidentally come together. Does that make sense?
Perfect.
Is that good?
I think yeah.
Okay, perfect.
No, certainly. I think this makes like a perfect overview of the film itself. I couldn't say it better.
Thank you.
Okay. Just so for the people that don't know, so this part is spoiler free. So this is a recommendation of the film. So if you haven't watched it, like I haven't until now, this is an idea of what the film is about. And we are giving you now our ratings. What we thought about films using 5 stars. Since I'm not the one who brought the film, I will give my first rating. I will give it 3 stars. And I know people will hate me because of that.
Definitely.
But mostly the 3 stars for me is mostly because I wasn't very captivated by the beginning of the story, but that's about myself. What really brought me into the story was just how things got afterwards, and I think it's grand. So this for me is a 3 stars. What was your rating?
I would rate it a 4.5. I
Okay.
really like how innovative Tarantino's presentation is. I like how his stories play out, and I really like Uma Thurman. But seriously, I think the acting was great. I think it was just on point, and it's my type of movies. Like, I enjoy that kind of stuff. I just don't give it a 5 because I think it can be rather controversial.
True, true, yeah.
Yeah, and I think if you look at Tarantino's most recent productions, like The Hateful Eight, which is from 2015, it's quite similar in the way you tell the story and even the subjects that they talk about, and it's probably just as controversial as Pulp Fiction. So I think it's interesting to think that it's two very different generations, and we end up finding those similarities.
Yeah, super agree with you. That's super true. Yeah, so I think this is it for the introduction. Now we're gonna enter into the spoiler section. So if you haven't watched the film yet, please do.
Watch the movie and come back.
And even if you have watched it, please stick around and we're gonna talk a bit more about the film. Okay, so we're gonna
Sorry. I'm
what
just really excited.
happened?
The first thing I like to talk about is exactly this controversial theme. And I would like to
Okay.
broaden it a little bit because I think it's rather recurrent in widespread media and overall everyone's lives, which is violence. And what I would like to discuss is the normalization of violence, like if it is happening, if it isn't, what are the impacts, that kind of stuff.
So this is a very interesting topic because it is the first thing that I noticed about the
Yeah.
film. But then it is also I was expecting it for the fact that Quentin Tarantino is quite known for the violence in his films. And then the thing that really brought my attention into that was one thing that you mentioned when you were doing the overview is this way in how he presents like just like people talking. Like they are having a normal conversation, a normal life, and then bam, there's this violence in the middle, as it was like the most normal thing in the world.
Exactly.
It turns into comedy, something that should be worried about.
Exactly. And that's also something I want to talk about. Like, I think that's very common. And I remember at least when I was little, I used to watch TV, and I don't remember the channel, but there was this one segment where it was people getting hurt. It was like people falling or anything else getting stuck, literally anything where they get hurt. And it was
Oh, yeah,
Yeah,
okay.
and it was seen as comedy. And that's something I want to talk about. Like, is that impacting our society somehow? Are we normalizing violence? Are we seeing violence as something funny? What's going on? That's exactly what I wanted to talk about. 'Cause Tarantino is known for gore in his movies. And I was reading a paper that said that there are three different forms of cinematic violence, which is ritualistic, symbolic, and hyperreal. And the paper also said that this third one, hyperreal, is what's common in Tarantino's fiction. And basically, what happens is that it's this mix of hope and violence. You just, because it's normal, you kind of expect that it's not going to happen and everything's going to turn out calm, I suppose. But then violence comes in, and it plays this comedic role. It ends up turning into comedy rather than violence as a terrible action.
That's very interesting. And since you mentioned those kind of videos that people see each other, sorry, that people see other people getting hurt and they laugh about it. It's kind of disturbing in a way if you think about it, but we generally don't think about that much. And to be honest, it is a way of normalizing violence in a way, but I don't know. I'm just like adding here some thoughts. But what if like this is just part of our own nature? You know, we have been a violent species for a long time, for a very long time. For example, there were public displays of violence in the past, as the public executions we had, and they were like large events. You know, people would go to watch. So I think it, like violent films nowadays are our public executions. It's just this cathartic feeling of trying to get that inner violence, that inner rage that we have, into something else. You know, I think this can translate to like films, books, video games. There's a lot of discussions about violent video games nowadays and stuff like that. But you know, that's what I mean. Like, I understand that people are talking about normalization of violence, and it is. But in the same way, it never really stopped being normal. Like, it was part of our daily routine in one day or another. And sorry, in one way or another.
So, what you said reminded me of the bread and circus politics. Because it was literally people murdering each other for fun of people who had financial and social advantage. And I see your point that it's recurrent since the beginning of times, I suppose. And do you think that media has increased that? Do you think that nowadays maybe something has changed, or do you think we always had this take on violence that it's part of entertainment and it's always been normalized?
Well, I don't think media has made it, well, maybe, yeah, okay, forget it, what I said. Yeah, I think media has made it worse, but I also paradoxically think that it made it better, on the sense that media is just ways of us to convey information. And I think what happens with media is that it only exacerbate things that are already there. So, for example, our thoughts of like peace and utopia and, well, good things in general, they have been transmitted through media. But violence, crimes, corruption, all those things that happen, there are real events, are also disseminated by media. So, and it now has a reach that it never had before, you know, because in the past, well, you only would receive some such news if like a carrier would come, or if you would see that in the newspaper, if you bought the newspaper or heard rumors. Nowadays, it's in our faces every day, you know, and in our phones, in the computers. So I think it is there, like the violence and the good things too, but they have been just exacerbated by the media itself.
Okay, I like your point of view. That reminds me of, do you remember when 13 Reasons Why came out? There was a lot of discussions on the romanticization of suicide, and which is the what something else I'd like to talk about, because from what I see in movies and, well, media in general, I feel like there's a lot of romanticization of crime and drugs and that kind of stuff. Do you agree?
I agree completely, yes.
And
No, it's okay. Just so connecting with this idea, with that idea and also the idea of the comedy, making violence comedy, there is like I think the scene that most shows that I think it's the scene that John Travolta, Vincent in
Yeah.
this case, is in the car with Samuel L. Jackson and with that teenager, I don't know, that young guy, and he's gonna talk to the guy and he shoots the guy in the head and the head
Yes.
explodes.
Yes.
So sorry, this is a point I would like to
No,
take.
definitely. I agree with you, and
It is disturbing. It is very disturbing, but at the same time, I laughed so
yeah.
much. And while I was laughing, I asked myself, why do I find that funny?
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty gruesome.
I think that worries me because at the same time, it's been around for a long time, like the normalization or even comedic aspect of violence. It has been around, but should it be around? Because I've also read a paper on domestic violence and how mass media plays a role in it. I mean, from the paper and my opinion, there are a lot of factors that go into this, and recent studies have been showing that most of it, in most the most famous categories of pornography, women are always being hurt. So there are a lot of things that play a role in this, and there's, for example, our culture, which is very sexist in most places, if not all. And something else I read is about pornography.
The idea of sex,
Yes,
right?
where I think it intensifies it has shown there are studies that show that this plays a gigantic role in how men see women and how men are forming their personalities, I guess, because with the internet, objectification of women,
Exactly.
and it also adds violence to it, which I think
Certainly.
maybe back to what you said, that has been going on for a long time, and sexual violence is common. And the internet is making it much, much bigger. But I think that it still plays a major role. And I can see nowadays there are certain actions that people are trying to take towards this and other subjects.
I agree with you. I mean, there's nothing actually to agree because this is a fact. We have seen some spike in violence against women over the times, and there are many studies that correlate that to the way we portray human in porn, because in a way it is how men so this most of men have their sexual life initiated is through porn, and porn has been very controversial in the sense of like how it portrays women in general, like how it objectifies them, and how it makes like the idea that the man has to be the dominant part and stuff. It is not only a violence against women, mostly against women, of course, but it's a violence against men too. There is a documentary that I saw, I think it's The Mask Within or something like that, and it talks about that, about how masculinity portrayed in porn and in other and every other media can be toxic, not only from women but from men itself, men
Definitely.
themselves.
And I think it's well, I have two things that I'd like to add here. And first is that it's actually a
Please.
topic that we talked about a while ago, and it's related to this I guess porn image, which is in movies, women are, especially movies that talk about medieval times or or fictional times where society isn't as evolved as it is today, or we don't have this much technology, and it doesn't portray body hair in women, or all women are wearing makeup. But at the same time, there is a scene where they are raped on camera, and the argument in favor of it is that it's for accuracy because of the time they were in. But if it is for accuracy, then why are other factors not taking part? You know, like why are women shaved? Why are they all wearing makeup? I've seen in real life and on the internet situations where women, usually feminists, just say something like, men aren't rapists, you know, like it's not part of I don't know, the male physique or the male brain to be a rapist. And men just get angry at that, you know? So a lot of times we try to defend it is affecting you guys. It's negative because a lot of times you can't show emotion, you have to be tough, you have to be dominant, all of that. And it's just maybe not just as bad because you still get a bit of an upper hand in here, but I think it's bad for men just as it is for women. Well, I don't know if it's as relevant because it's mostly about feminism and sexism, but I thought it was really interesting what you said about how this is toxic to men as well, because a lot of times...
No, certainly. This entire system, of the sexism system, is very prejudicial for most of the people, and it only makes life, I would say, good. Many quotes here, for a very few selection of people. This describes a lot of things. Like this describes capitalism. That describes our entire system of society and how we've been running it.
Definitely. In Pulp Fiction, how did you feel about that? Do you think there was any sexualization? Do you think there are any, I don't know, maybe social roles that are being forced rather than just being natural? What do you think? And this actually takes me to my next point that I'd like to talk about, which is how women are portrayed. Surprise, surprise.
I have two additions here. So one is about the character from Uma Thurman, and she's a strong woman in the film, I found, but I do feel a lot of sexualization towards her in the film. Like of this femme fatale thing and how she has to always look good to attract the male audience, you know, because she's a beautiful woman as well. That helps, of course, but mostly the way the character is wrote is really, it's quite sexualized in this sense. Although I don't think as much as other films,
yes.
And I got really impressed because I guess from... As a male who watched a few films from that that period, most women are a lot more sexualized than she is.
I mean, when I read about this, and I read what they said, they were like, "Oh, what the text said." They're like, "Oh, and if you say that it's because people don't want to see that, then what are you saying?" You know, and it just made me realize that, like, yeah, people don't want to see women with body hair, and they don't want to see women without makeup, but why do they don't mind, you know, watching women being raped?
There is this entire atmosphere that I was supposed to talk about of a macho, what I call macho film, you know, of like a film that is made only for like straight guys, and how they see the world and how they have to be dominant. For example, the first scenes of the film shows John Travolta and Samuel L. Jackson, like these very confident, very dominant guys who kill anyone who goes into their ways, in their ways. And then there is also this woman that is quite like always transpiring some kind of sensualization in the case of Uma Thurman, or even the case of the French girl, which is another topic that I would like to add to that. That I thought it was really the image of a dominant woman, you know, sorry, a dominated woman, and how submissive. Okay. How submissive she was to with Bruce Willis, and how she acted and how he treated her like kind of like her his prize, yes. You know, like his pet in a way. And I mean, all of these things, all those elements kind of appear in what I call a macho film, which is a thing. For example, another example of a macho film would be Fast and Furious. People really hate when I say that, but I really think like they have a trend and they all follow these tiny elements showing always how dominant and how awesome it is to be a man and how great it is that they have this power over the world. They can get anything.
Yes, they do.
You see what I mean? And I think this is a pretty recurring thing in this film. Although I was a bit unsure by the end of the film when it finishes, and I was thinking about it, if Tarantino was doing that on purpose, so to make it like a parody of it, because sometimes the film itself makes fun of itself, and I thought it was really, really interesting. So I was left by the end of the film thinking, what were the real intentions of Tarantino? Like, if he even was thinking about that, because sometimes we do something and we don't even think about it. But like, if it was like really the idea of like a macho film, or if he was kind of making a parody of that kind of film.
Yeah. So a few things. I agree with you that I don't think women were as sexualized as they usually are in, I don't think they are in Tarantino's, I don't think they are in Tarantino's movies in general. Like, I think, I haven't seen all of them, right? But I think in general, he tries to stay closer to what really happens. So, for example, there was the new one, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, you know, was released in 2019. And one of the characters, I will not remember her name now, but she's one of the main characters. And I thought it was really interesting that she did have body hair. So she didn't shave her armpits. And I couldn't really notice anywhere else, like it wasn't as clear, but I thought it was a great addition. I think in general, from what I've seen, Tarantino tries to keep it real, you know? Oh man, I really like his work, like Tarantino's work, I think they are constructed, and the history is good, and the way it's constructed and it's played, I think everything is really nice. But anyways, right, back to the topic.
Okay, so this, a few notes I took while I was watching the film. Well, the film begins in a very interesting way of like this couple talking about where it would be the best to have to rob. And I was, it was interesting. Like, I think I really liked the start of the film, but the way it changed to another scene and starting something else, I got really confused because I was like, oh, I want to see what happens later after that. And I just thought like, maybe they had forgotten. It was just like a way of Tarantino showing, well, that happens. Like, people that rob places are just normal people. Yeah. And so I was like, okay. Yeah, what is this? Why is this happening? Why is this credit appearing right now? But anyway. So when when John Travolta and Samuel L. Jackson are talking, they're having this weird dialogue, kind of resembles the way we talk And this brought me into perspective on how weird that film would be, because like the dialogue was really, how can I say, raw, you know, in the sense of like, oh yeah, they're just two guys talking, you know. It wasn't like a dialogue from a film. And I really liked it. I really liked that part. So the film starts with a different contrast to me, because the first scene I really liked, but then there is this beginning of like the credits, and like there's this long credits in the beginning of the film, and it's simply something that I despise in every single film. I feel like awful. I hate it. I just hate it so badly. And I understand, I actually understand why they would do it in the beginning, because you needed to show to the public the people that actually have made the film, and like actually like present those names, because they were not as seen as they are nowadays. So it makes sense. Anyways, I still hate them. I don't know, also maybe there was a way for people like, okay, this first episode, there's a name for that, I forgot. The first scene of the film before the credits, the beginning credit, credits of the beginning, whatever. The introduction of the film. Maybe this is a way of people that were watching the cinema to decide if they wanted to keep watching the film or
Oh,
not.
that's interesting.
Like, so you buy your ticket, and then you go to the cinema, and then you watch this first introduction, and you're like, yeah, okay, this scene is grand. I'm gonna keep around and watch the rest. Or maybe it was made for like give it a break so people get their snacks.
That's really interesting. Actually, I always thought it was because in the end, I mean, once unless it's a Marvel movie, once the movie's done with, I just leave, you know, like I don't actually take time to pay attention to who the people in the movie are, or at least I don't do that in that moment when I'm in the movies, at the movies. But I thought that it was to really make people pay attention to who took part in the production of the movie or whatsoever. And I think it's really interesting that we had such different thoughts on it. That's really, to me, that's really attractive in Tarantino's work, because it's literally they make it seem like normal people are doing this. And I think that it kind of breaks from what we're used to in action movies or any genre, actually. I think we tend to see, but especially action. So action movies and adventure or anything that talks about crime, for example, we tend to think that the characters usually are from very different realities from us. So they're like born into this family and they have very intrinsic conversations between them, and everything just seems relevant. And I think it's really interesting that, for example, the couple in the beginning, or Travolta's and Jackson's conversation, it's you see them closer to you, you know, like that could have been you. You could be in the car talking about Amsterdam and smoking in Amsterdam, and you could be in a restaurant with your loved one just talking about anything. And I really like in that first part where they just decide like let's rob this place, 'cause it's logical, you know, like banks are hard, this is hard, but in here it's great. And I think that's really interesting. And also how Travolta and Jackson are talking in the car about, I really like that you talked about that first conversation and between the couple and between Samuel L. Jackson and John Travolta, which I also love both. Something very ordinary. And then they just go into this apartment to kill someone, you know? And I think that's really interesting.
This is grand. Like, I really like that part. That made me feel like, wow, okay, so that's how assassins think. Oh Jesus. One thing that I thought about the film too is it kind of resembles a bit the atmosphere in general. It reminded me a bit of the Western films. And I would like to
Oh,
ask
what do
you
you
what do
mean
you think of that.
Western films? Like,
It seems like very Western. I mean, in its photography primarily, I thought it was very like warm colors and the way they focus on the faces of the characters while they are talking and giving this speech. So I don't know if like that was on purpose or that was just me, but I really felt like there was some essence from
That
Western
makes
films, you know.
sense.
And even like when people are holding guns, like I think you can notice that how they focus a lot on this part. But for many parts of the film, the
Yeah,
people are holding guns,
that's
whatever.
really interesting. I hadn't noticed, but now that you said it makes sense. Like, I remember the first time I watched it, and I thought it was kind of boring because the camera was always still, you know? Which I suppose it kind of looks like Western films.
Maybe he, I don't know, gave some thought
Yeah.
on that when he was doing the film.
Do you think there's any similarities between I don't know, maybe Pulp Fiction or Tarantino's style and Western movies?
I wouldn't know because I haven't watched that many Tarantino films, so I mean, just watch Pulp Fiction. Though I think the only film that I actually watched from him, like really watched not only like pieces of it, was Kill Bill.
I mean, about their stories.
It kind of resembles a bit of like Western films as well, but I think Kill Bill is a more like even like the entire theme, obviously, it looks a bit more like these samurai films, you know. And I guess that's the entire idea because she has a sword like a katana and stuff like that. And the way they frame is very similar to how like Japanese films do it, you know. So I think like maybe
I just really hadn't noticed that.
it's like he gets like certain inspirations for different genres of film. Yeah, it was when I noticed that, I kept asking myself that was the thing. Also, because for some reason, one of the first thing that reminds me was that for some reason, at some point in the film, it reminded me of Westworld, and then I made all of these connections.
I guess it makes sense because Westworld, it's the series, and well, I guess we can't talk about it because it's spoilers, but I think I know what you mean.
One thing that I caught my attention and that I r really, really laughed my house and my heart out was when John Travolta arrives at Uma Thurman's house, and then I
The
discovered
meme.
finally where that meme from John Travolta came from, and I
Oh
was like, I don't believe that meme is from there.
my
It's quite funny, and I don't know. I didn't know where that was from until I saw that film. So,
every single time
fun
I watch
fact.
it, I just have to stop. I just have to go back and watch it because the whole, even in the context, like I think of it in the context and out of context, it's just hilarious and I love it.
Another thing. So that scene where John Travolta and Uma Thurman, they dance together. It's very interesting because I already saw that somewhere and I knew it was for Pulp Fiction, but I never knew the context. So it was pretty nice to see the context for the first time. But it was funny because while I was watching the film, my dad came by and he saw that part. He said to me that that was a very iconic scene when
Really?
he was a teenager, and he told me that. Yeah, he told me and showed me that
Oh
very
my God.
recently he bought a pair of socks. And in the pair of socks, in one side it is John Travolta's
Oh my
character
God, that's
dancing, and in the
so
other is Uma Thurman.
think that shows a lot how, for example, you never watched it until recently, and yet there are all this subtle things that are in how do I say this? That are in the internet. They're like part of our lives, and we've seen it, we've been exposed to it, but we don't really know what it is. And I think that that's to show just the impact that Pulp Fiction had.
It is quite interesting. Like,
Yeah.
it was really random. He just appeared. He's like, "Oh, look, I have
Oh,
those socks."
cool. So,
Yeah, please.
this leads me to one of the questions I asked, which is I asked myself, which is why is and why was Pulp Fiction so popular? Do you have any thoughts on that? Oh, aspect, I suppose. I didn't think of the time it was inserted in when it was released or anything, but from this, I did see that this kind of genre that mixes crime and comedy was a new thing back in 94, but there are a lot of things, and one of them I really wonder, like, how did they choose, which is the soundtrack. And I think that it's in every movie, I think the soundtrack is really, really important. Like, it can make or break any film.
Yeah, and I think it has something. I mean, for myself, what I saw, it was mostly related to what we talked about and how he kind of made up of a parody of those violent films that were emerging, as well as showing
Yeah.
violence very clearly, you know. And it's interesting because he kind of showed something that was, I wouldn't say, I never lived in that period, of course, but for what I heard, that was a very common thing, like having like these lords, these drug lords and people like with a lot of power, killing other people because, well, because they didn't pay a debt or something like that. I think this is, he was just presenting the normality of life in the violent society that was going on. I mean, so in a way it's kind of realistic, but he was kind of making a parody of life itself. So I
Oh,
think maybe
that's
that's
really
why he became
interesting.
so
I
popular.
actually, what I thought in my research was more towards, and for example, recently I was
Yeah,
watching a
same.
documentary on La Casa de Papel, and one of the things they said is that the song Bella Ciao became an icon, you know, so it made the series. It was one of the factors that helped the series be as much of a big phenomenon as it is. And most of the things I read about Pulp Fiction were related to this. They talk about how the cinematography, is that how it's pronounced? Yeah. Okay. How the cinematography and the
Yeah.
soundtrack, just the performance, just everything built together make it such a great movie. And it's also original. I think Tarantino's style, even though it's not that original anymore because he's repeating, it's unique. And with all due respect, like, I love it, but it was original the first time. It's unique. It's very unique.
It is.
And I think maybe it was like this, all of these factors playing together, you know, the society and how it portrays this normal recurrent part of society, but it adds comedy, and it's also unique on the way that the story is told. And there's also the soundtrack and all the imagery. I think that maybe that's what brought the whole thing together. Because something else that I saw in this documentary for La Casa de Papel was that they had to play with images. So it's the mask, Dali's mask, it's Dali, right? And in the documentary, they mention how
Okay.
that was important to build their image. So there's a lot of footage from all around the world of people fighting for their own causes using what La Casa de Papel did. So singing Bella Ciao, which is a song about revolution, and wearing red clothes with Dali masks, because the series brought society a model, you know? And I think maybe that can also be seen in Pulp Fiction. Like, there are a lot of iconic moments that we heard of or we've seen somewhere, but it's there, but we've never actually seen it. And that's how big of a phenomena it is.
I completely agree with everything you said. That is, like, I can see that happening in society at that time, you know. It seems like it was a breakthrough film in how it makes things. Because for now, like I said, I just watch it, and it, I mean, impressed me. Yeah, and it was like quite of a different, it was a different narrative for myself.
I think it becomes kind of a timeless film because, well, it talks about violence and drugs, for example. And I think that's, at least for us, it's still recurrent. I think that's really cool. Well, honestly, hopefully it wouldn't be recurrent in the future, but it's probably going to. And it's still, like, even years later,
Yeah.
like over 2 decades later, we still think it's as unique as it was back in its time, you know?
Yeah, no, certainly. I agree with that. That's grand. Just to wrap up, I
Yes.
want to talk about the ending of the film. And mostly just one part that got me very well was, as I was saying, the first scene of the film got me very interested. I thought it was like a very nice way of beginning a film, and then they disappeared. Like, that story is not ever told anymore for the rest of the film. Maybe that's why I didn't like that much, and probably was just more of a disappointment because the characters that I just adore at the beginning just disappeared. But whatever. At the end, they joined together the stories, and it was amazing. Like, it made me jump out of my chair when I was watching it. I was like, really? Oh yeah, that's nice. It's so nice the way they did it. I got lost a few times in the timeline, but in general, like the ending, I really liked it. I really liked the last moment, the last part of the film.
Was
It was
worth
the
watching it.
highest point for me, by far, like at the highest point. I have just a few notes that was left. It just is just more personal, but I just watching the film, I just got me thinking, and asking myself, why was John Travolta
I mean,
a
have
sex
you
symbol for
seen
his time?
the
Because I was watching the entire film and I was
man?
really, really looking into it. I was like, I'm trying to find like the idea behind the sex symbol, but I couldn't. I just couldn't. Even with the hairstyle that he was using, Jesus, that made things even
I
worse. I don't understand
mean,
where they came
right?
from. Why wasn't Samuel L. Jackson the sex symbol? I
Why
think it was
wasn't
even
Uma
better
Thurman is the real question?
than John Travolta. I know, she certainly is. She still is.
She is.
Like, she's beautiful, that woman. Yeah. And just so, still on the same topic, I think Bruce Willis was really cute when he was at that age. Yeah.
The
It was an average daddy. Okay, yeah, that's
Oh
it.
my God.
So in this section, I think it's nice if we talk a bit more about things that we watched throughout the week, or something that we like to recommend for people. Just do some recommendations for the people that are listening to us now.
It's not from this week, but I would like to recommend La Casa de Papel, which I mentioned today. And I got involved with the characters. So if you do watch, or if you have already watched, I would definitely suggest giving a shot to the documentary. It's very short. It's not long. Well, it's very short, right? Because I think at least the first 2 seasons, I think it's really worth a shot, and it's really interesting. I think it kind of breaks down all that everything that you see and that you just feel very attracted to, but you don't really know why. At least that's how I felt like.
Well, my recommendation for this week is a film I watched very recently, and that is Mother. This is a film that is on Netflix, and the general idea is, well, it's an AI, a robot that is taking care of a baby. But it has a lot of more implications than that, and I really can't say much about that because it would be spoilers, because this film is very dense. But it's really nice. It really brings up some real nice questions. Nice. So I recommend that film. No, sorry. Sorry, okay. Let me do that again. The name of the film is I Am Mother, actually. You can follow us at Instagram at FilmaholicsPod, or everything together. And you can also email us if you want, if you prefer, in case you don't have an Instagram account. And that would be FilmaholicsPod, everything together again, at gmail.com. You can leave some comments, anything that you would like to say about the film, maybe even some recommendations for films that we can comment for next episodes.
Thank you for listening, and we talk to you guys very soon.